Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Well, hello, everybody. It's such a pleasure to be able to bring a message from God's Word to you today. Today, we're looking at continuing our series of Emmanuel, Finding God in Christmas. And in this Christmas season, I don't know about you, but personally, I find that all my desire kind of gets stirred up. Somebody asks, hey, Nathan, what do you want? And I normally just don't think about what I want too much, but all of a sudden, all of the wants start turning up. And I'm like, man, I need to find the perfect gift for myself. Man, I need to find the perfect gift for my wife, Ailsa, for my two kids, Alexander and Eden. I need to find the perfect gift for my dad and mom and stepmom and my little sisters and my brothers and my nieces and my nephews. And all of a sudden, it's finding all this other stuff. I've got to get to the holiday party on time. I've got to have the friends over. I want to do this and I want to do that before the end of the year. I need to do so many things to check off the list before the year end closes out. But this season is all about one thing. It's about God touching down in our world. And friends, if we let this season move past us without finding God in Christmas, then we've missed the gift from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This season is about finding Him. It's about treasuring Him. It's about stirring up our desire and our anticipation that God, thank you for coming and meeting the needs of this earth. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to come again and satisfy in the deepest ways. Our desire for justice, our longing to see God's rule on earth, our desire to see poverty end, our desire to see justice reign. Yeah, God wants to see those things too. And we long for the day that He comes back and He sets the record straight. 2,000 years ago, God threw a launch party. And today I want to look at that launch party. Been seeing in the news different celebrities, different people coming into New York City, every brand, every store, every product, every movie. They want to come to this city to launch their thing. Why? Because this is where the action is. This is where the eyes are. This is where everything is going on in our city. Well, at least under normal circumstances, and we're looking forward to more of that coming back. But what would God's launch party look like? And we find that story in Luke chapter 2, and it looks a little bit different than the launch party I would plan if, I don't know, I was giving birth to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or if I was sending my son to bring a message of hope to the world. This is not the crew that I would choose personally. But God chooses shepherds to be at His launch party. And today, I'd like to explore why. We read in Luke chapter 2, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among those with whom He is pleased." And the angels went away from there, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." God, thank you for your faithfulness and letting things be known to us like these shepherds. And I pray that God, today, as we read your word and we study why this happened to these shepherds, God, that we would see it freshly and that we would stir in our hearts, you would stir in our hearts a desire to be like them, to see you, to know you, to come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So why did God invite these shepherds? What's so special about them? Why did they get to go to the launch party? It's not the influential. It's not the influencers. It wasn't the rich. It wasn't the powerful. It wasn't Caesar who was making decrees and affecting all of the world and the global travel. It was shepherds. And the first thing I see is that they were faithful in the ordinary. Heaven and earth met that night in ordinary circumstances, in an ordinary field, on a plain old boring night. But why? Because the shepherds were there. What were they doing? They were out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. That's a lot of words to say they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds were doing what God had asked of them to do. They were doing their job. They had seen thousands of sheep been born, and their job was to give birth to sheep, to raise them up and send them out and bring them down to Jerusalem, a couple of miles north of there, to bring them in and to sell them at the temple so that they could be part of the sacrificial system. And that night, in that field, heaven broke open and called them in to witness this child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He said, basically, God was saying, you've seen thousands of sheep be born. Now it's time to see the lamb. One lamb. One lamb. And that night they witnessed the death nail to their industry. Very interesting. That God had shepherds that would sell their sheep in the temple, witness the Lamb. And actually 70 years from the birth of Jesus, the temple and the temple system that had been established in Jerusalem for hundreds of years fell. 70 years after the birth of Christ. When you faithfully follow God, what God is doing is he's turning ordinary moments, ordinary parts of your life into an extraordinary story. These shepherds were participating in a system that reached back thousands of years. And in that moment, they got to witness the seminal moment that was going to change their industry for another thousand and thousands of years. They got to witness it. They got to see it. Because they had been faithfully participating in the story of God. You see, friends, our lives and our participation in what God is doing in the world, it's not just a moment. We can get so bored with the moment by moment, waking up, reading our Bible, praying, going to church. But what we're doing in that moment is we are faithfully representing the story of God, not just for us, not just for our kids, but to the world. That's why the church is called the body of Christ. When we go into church, we lift our hands. What are we doing? We're saying, here I am. Just like in Genesis chapter 3, where God said, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? Well, now we get to walk into church and say, here I am, God. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. What are we doing when we raise our hands? We're saying, here I am, God. Just like Isaac said to his father, Father, I see the fire and the knife, but where's the lamb? I will be the lamb. I will participate in this. I will do my job. I'm going to faithfully turn up. Just like in Romans 12 says we can offer our bodies as living sacrifice. We say, here I am, God. Just like in Acts 2 when the fire fell in the upper room. Here I am, God. Land on me. Use me, God. That's what we're saying when we walk into the house of God. We're not just being there for us. We're being there to represent the story thousands of years past and to tell the story into the future as long as God will have us here to tell it. These shepherds were participating in something deep as they were out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Were they bored? You better believe it, they were bored. Were they faithful though? Yeah. So much of our culture has changed the narrative from what you do matters to what you feel matters. Friends, you don't always have to feel it. Your feelings are not king. Your feelings can be overcome. Your feelings can change. Your feelings are fickle. But what we do truly matters. And we have got to be faithful long enough for God to turn up. I found in my life there are often twists and turns and things that I just don't understand. But if I'm faithful, if I keep turning up, if I keep believing, God turns up there too. And the things that I thought were testimonies of how bad God is ends up being turned into a glorious moment where God shows up. And man, Lynette, my stepmom, just did an incredible job this month preaching about finding God in the waiting. And that's exactly what we are going to do here, is find God as we wait, but not just wait, but we're going to wait faithfully. Faithfully keeping watch over the things that God has called us to keep watch over. Faithfully doing the things that God has called us to do. Showing up at church, serving where we can. And in fact, if you're not a part of what we're doing, either online or in person, my encouragement to you is to get involved, to be faithful in the testimony of God in the world, to play a part in the body of Christ. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you can text us, text SERVE to our number. And we'd love to help you get involved, either online or in person, helping out and helping the city and the world know about who we are serving. The second thing that I see them being faithful in is they're faithful in their identity. Throughout the scriptures, he's calling shepherds to follow him. It's really interesting. The first one is Abraham, then Abraham's family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's a famous shepherd, later changes his name to Israel, after whom the whole nation is named after. God later calls Moses, who had a 40-year season of being a shepherd. Then God calls David, the king from the city of Bethlehem, a shepherd boy that God raises up to be a king. God calls shepherds. Why? Because I believe that there's something about what shepherds do that represents the heart of God to humanity. Shepherds are faithful, they're watchful, they're self-sacrificial, they're tender, and they're strong. David, before he cared for millions, he cared for his sheep. Before he placed his life on the line to serve the Lord, he placed his life on the line for those sheep. The Hebrew people's identity is caught up in the story of the shepherds. But somehow, the people of God got off track with this identity. And at the time of Jesus' birth, shepherds, they weren't really valued. They weren't loved and cherished. As a matter of fact, they weren't allowed to participate in the temple system. They had to stay out. They were seen as unclean. They were social pariahs of the day, not really allowed to participate in the social life. And they were outside of the city, seen as less than. So God has called his people from being shepherds, or even as shepherds. God has represented himself as a shepherd. As David writes in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. So what happened? Here's what I think happened. I think people got bored with their identity as shepherds. Society moved on. They said, I'm kind of tired of that. I'd rather have the new. I'd rather have the next thing. I'd like to leave where we've come from behind and move on to what's next. And something about the allure of newer, modern, something about the allure of next, something about the allure of moving into the cities and being busy with civic life there, had them leave behind, not just leave behind, which is fine. It's fine to change jobs. It's fine to change careers. It's fine to move into a city. But are we going to despise where we came from? Are we going to despise what was close and dear to God's heart? Because then they start to cut that part of their society off and cut them out. While culture has moved on, God honors those who are faithful to his calling. Jesus' birth was not announced to the rich and to the powerful or to the elite. But his birth was announced to the faithful. And these shepherds, they were faithful, yes, keeping watch over their flocks, but they were also faithful in the identity that God had given them. They were people who represented the heart of God well. Christians, we've long enjoyed being valued in our culture for a long time. A lot of what has happened in the civic life has been built on the understanding of Judeo-Christian values. But more and more, society is going in a different direction. Society is not going to value what we value. And it's time for Christians, we've got to find our value in some other places than just chasing the values of our society. When I was growing up in church, a lot of what was valuable to me was being relevant, was hoping that Christians would rise to stardom. And we've kind of felt it sometimes even recently. Maybe Kanye West will finally be the Christian to break through. Maybe finally he'll popularize church. I don't know if our hope is in being popular. I don't know if our hope is in culture loving us. What I think that we need to focus on is God loving us and us loving God and us being faithful to the identity and calling that God has given us. There's a lot of things that God is going to call us to do that the culture is not going to celebrate. The culture is not going to celebrate you waking up at 6 a.m. and praying your heart out. You saying, God, I need you. The culture is not going to celebrate you walking into church and worshiping God. The culture is not going to celebrate you leading connect groups. The culture is not going to celebrate your sexual purity. The culture is not going to celebrate you saying, you know what, I messed up and I need to repent. The culture is not going to celebrate your humility. The culture is not going to celebrate you reading your Bible and praying and digging into God's word. The culture is not going to celebrate it. But that is the stuff that God chooses to move in on. That's the stuff that God chooses to have a launch party on your life. That's where God wants to let the glory of the Lord shine out through you. It's in our faithful identity as Christians. We're not conforming to the culture. We are called to be different, just like the shepherds were different. Be comfortable in it. It's okay. It's time for Christians to stop looking to the world for cues on, hey guys, am I doing good? Am I playing this part well? Let's look to God. Is he pleased with us? Is our heart able to be home for the Holy Spirit? Am I acting and behaving not more like the world, but more like God every single day? That's where God wants to move. That's where the glory of the Lord wants to shine around us. That's where God wants to launch his movement into the earth. When our lives are faithfully lifted up to him, and we're faithfully walking in the identity that God has given us. Just like he's a shepherd, we are also called in to be shepherds. What do shepherds do? They multiply sheep. They call an individual sheep into a collective herd. They move them into green pastures. They protect them. They multiply out. And friends, what are we called to do? We're called to be disciple making disciples. People who call others into a collective, who honor the individual gifts, who honor what God is doing in each one, but also collectively become the body of Christ, mutually encouraging, mutually building up, growing into a beautiful thing that can represent God to the earth. This is what invites the glory of God to rest on our lives. Will we faithfully wear the identity that God has given to us? Final thing that these shepherds do is they're faithful with the story. After they've encountered God, after they've seen the angels, after they've been swept up with the heavenly hosts and visited Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, what do? In Luke 2, 17 and 18, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds went out. And they shared their story. Friends, the adventure of God awaits us when we open our mouths and share of his goodness. There's somebody in your life that needs to hear this story about what God has done in your life. There's somebody that needs to be prayed for by you. There's somebody that needs to hear about God's faithfulness. There's somebody that needs to You need to pick up your phone and text them and say, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in church in a while. What's going on in your life? And you need to let them know about what God is doing in your life. There's something that God has given to you that needs to flow through you and out for the world. It's time to start participating in the mission of God. That's where God's glory is going to land on your life. It's not just when we receive it, but then when we pass it on. How can we live in that moment, that hot moment with God forever and ever? Well, we just keep sharing it. Keep telling your story. I was out for dinner the other night and somebody asked me, so how did you meet your wife? And I can barely tell the story without just breaking down and crying and just thinking, man, I just love my wife so much. Why is that? Because I was living in that moment. Because I was sharing the story. Share the story of how you met the Lord. Share the story of what he's done for you lately. And I got to, the other day I was walking out of a coffee shop with Kenny, and God told me, pray for this woman. She was sitting on the road, asking for money. I thought, man, I don't want to do that. And honestly, friends, I walked by her, and God just like kept messing with my heart. I went back to her. I had a conversation with her. You know, I was feeling embarrassed to be like talking to her for so long. Felt people looking at us. I was faithful in my identity as a Christian. God turned up there. I think that woman blessed me more than I blessed her. I've had multiple conversations with her, and God's getting a hold of her life in a brand new way. I love talking to just anybody that God will bring my way. My prayer is that with my life, with my story, I'd be faithful every day, doing what God has asked me to do, sharing the good news that God has brought into my life. It's the same good news that's in your life. It's the same Holy Spirit that's working through you. It's working through me. That worked through the heroes, Peter, Paul, and even Jesus Christ himself. It's the same God. So let's go do the things that he's calling us to do. Let's be faithful in the ordinary, faithful in our identity as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. Let's be faithful as well with the story God has given into our life. Be faithful in it. Father, thank you for your faithfulness toward us. God, I pray that we would be faithful toward you. God, any shame, any guilt, we throw that off now. You've called us in. You've forgiven us. You've redeemed us by the blood of your own very Son. None of us could live up to it individually. But Lord, you've called us in by your good work, not by our own. So today we put on those royal robes, and we put on that fresh identity as the children of God, and we boldly go out into the world with your good news. In Jesus' name. You know, if you haven't had the opportunity to invite Jesus into your life, to be part of his story, to faithfully represent him, then I'd encourage you, let's start the year off right. As we close out 2021 here together and open up this brand new year, text us. Text Jesus to 844-962-3110. I look forward to going up 2022. It's going to be a great year. We're going to pray together. It's going to be incredible. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.